This is an interview with Ken Manchester. This interview is taking place in New Hope, Pennsylvania, on October 13, 2004.
And so we are now talking about your history and the history of iron implantation. And I was wondering whether we could go back to your background and whether you could talk about your family and the place where you grew up and things of that sort.
Yes, I was born on the 22nd of March, mm-hmm. 1925 in Winona, Minnesota, to my parents, Lawrence Edwin and Daisy Idell, mm-hmm. who was a Finley by as their maiden.
Okay.
I spent my early life up through high school, uh-huh. in Winona.
Okay.
And of course, at that time, as soon as I finished high school, I was very quickly grafted into the service.
Okay. Okay.
So that more or less ended the time that I stayed in Minnesota.
Okay.
My father came from a farming community, uh-huh. As did my mother. He, due to the times, did not finish the sixth grade.
Okay.
And was, uh-huh. it was necessary for him to work, and mm-hmm. which he did.
Mm-hmm.
My mother became a teacher in the country schools and,
okay.
and taught for a number of years in
okay.
the it's actually from the first to the 12th grade all in,
okay.
in the
okay.
single
okay.
schoolroom
okay.
deal.
Okay. Okay.
And after they married, because of the situation they were both born in Chatfield, Minnesota, which is
okay.
About 40 miles from Winona.
Uh-huh.
But at the time the situation, they
uh-huh.
decided it was best for them to move out of the farming
okay.
country and try
okay.
to proceed in their life in Winona. So they did.
Okay.
They moved to Winona, and
okay.
very luckily, my father got a job
uh-huh.
driving what that then were the streetcars, the old
okay.
electric
okay.
streetcars,
okay.
and he pursued that through their conversion to buses
okay.
until he retired.
Okay.
My mother was primarily a housewife initially,
mm-hmm. okay.
But was very active in the church work.
Okay.
And she also became a member of what then was called the WCTU. I think it's a Women's Christian Temperance.
Okay. Okay.
Unit, and she worked quite diligently in that.
Mm-hmm.
After retirement, they decided to also get into the resort business, so they
okay.
bought a piece of property in
mm-hmm.
Bemidji, Minnesota, and
okay.
opened a resort,
okay.
which they ran until several years before my father died.
Okay. Okay.
So
did you have any siblings, or did you have any siblings?
No, I am an only one.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay.
And I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but...
Okay, okay.
But I did enjoy the time that I
mm-hmm.
that I spent there in
mm-hmm.
Winona and,
mm-hmm.
and with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, after I'm out of the service and
okay.
Well, we're kind of getting ahead of the game here, I think,
okay.
but
mm-hmm.
We very often went back and spent time
okay.
with
okay.
my parents
okay.
A week at a time or so as a vacation time, and I enjoyed that.
Could you tell us a little bit about Winona in the 1920s and 1950s?
Winona, as uh-huh. I remembered it then, was
uh-huh.
was a small river town. It was right
okay.
on the Mississippi.
Okay.
A population of about 21,000,
mm-hmm.
which for the length of time that I was there remained very constant. I mean,
okay.
it
okay.
didn't
okay.
really grow at that
okay.
time. It was kind of a farming community. The only really large businesses that supported some of the community were, of course, Watkins Company, which was headquartered there. The Peerless Chain, which was headquartered there.
Okay.
And then there was a Bay State Milling Company there.
Okay.
And those were the primary sources of employment that I recall at the time I was here.
Okay.
I think the community had some sense of bigness because of the Watkins plant that was there.
Okay.
That was a huge operation at that time. And they built a very, very nice building, which now contains a museum.
Okay.
The company, of course, I think it's still in existence, but it's very, a very small operation.
So what did they make at Watkins?
Oh, they made just about everything. Seasonings.
I see, okay.
And I think that was the primary part of it. They kind of distributed those throughout the country. And I can't tell you much more about it because I was a bit young yet when I was there when they were going. But it served as a important point in Winona.
Okay. And so you went to primary school and high school there?
Yes, I did my first through sixth grade there in a little local school, which, by the way, is still there. And the last time I was there, I noticed it was still there. And then at the time, at that time, we had a junior high and a senior high.
Okay.
So I went through the junior high. I was not a very good student. While I was going up junior high, when I guess it was my last year, it was one of my teachers in science really kind of turned me around.
Okay.
He was very influential in really making me see that there is some importance to doing the proper things and guiding my education procedure for later life.
And,
I really owe him for that. And unfortunately, just several years after I left there, I found that he had drowned in the local pool. Now I'm not sure if it was what the reasoning was there.
Okay.
I mean,
was it
accidental or what? But they found him in the pool.
Okay.
That was a loss.
Okay. So was he teaching math or physics or?
In science at that time, it was what we call basic science.
Okay.
And he covered all aspects, a little bit of physics, a little bit of chemistry and what have you.
Okay.
But he was an excellent teacher in that he had techniques for really making you understand the concepts that he was trying to develop for you.
Okay.
So he was, I think, primarily the one that got me interested in science all the way through.
Okay.
I had some other excellent teachers in there after I got into senior high.
Okay.
I had an excellent teacher called Mr. Ziliox, who taught both physics and chemistry in the junior and senior years.
Okay.
And he really kind of continued my interest in going on in science. And, interestingly enough, he had a son, whom I went through most of the school system with. And unfortunately, we lost him very early in the war.
Oh my God.
So that was a sore point. But my my graduating class was about 300.
Wow, it was a fairly large high school.
Right? So it was a fairly large high school. It served not only Winona, but most of the rural areas.
I see,
too. At that time, there was a pretty elaborate busing program that brought students in from 20, 25 miles away. And as I say, I looking back, I think it was an excellent school. There was really a good rapport between teacher and student, at least in my case there was. I found it, even down to another aspect of my life, the shop period. There was, we had a shop teacher named Mr. Gordon, who taught me much about the mechanics of life and living, and things like carpentry and metalworking and what have you, which I really enjoyed, and I found that that had really helped me a lot in in what I do.
Okay, but you also took courses in history or in English, and you also took courses in English composition and history and
we had classes there. In fact, my the coach for our swimming team, which I participated in. At that time, I was a 5-year member. In fact, I started when I was actually a freshman on the swimming team. And our coach was Mr. Pendleton, and he was an English teacher. And
I see,
took a number of classes. And he was pretty good. For, as I say, and for English, I think he really developed in me the basics of the language, which has helped throughout life. My history, I've never really been a good student of history, but one of the teachers that I had really took an interest in me there and prepared the way for a scholarship to a college for me when I graduated. For which I was really thankful for. However, I never had a chance to use it.
Oh, I see,
Because as soon as I got out of the of high school, as I say, I was drafted. So.
So, what was the college, the scholarship for?
It was a little. It was Purdue University.
Okay.
And I kind of looked forward to going. And, but as I say, the way the way of the world turned out, I really didn't have that opportunity. As soon as I graduated, my following birthday, of course, was I was 18, and I was gone the next day after that. So, but I'd say I did manage to graduate, and I having been a very poor student earlier, I still managed to come out in the upper 5% of my class, which I guess is an accomplishment.
So was it, I mean, clear in high school that you were bound for college, or how did it, was it clear, I mean, did your family want you to go to college?
Both my father and mother were very interested in being sure that I got the education that I would need. That they really never got. As I say, my mother was a teacher, but at that time, the teachers in the country school didn't have to really have any college education. They had a I think it was a year preparatory course at a teacher's college.
Okay.
And as I say, my father never had a chance to continue. He was, I think if he could have continued his education, he would have, he would have done much. But to say that, that force was always there to be sure that I got an education. See, it was kind of detoured a bit, to say, when the war came along. I went in into the service, I say, on my 18th birthday, and I actually got out before I was 21. But but I found that that experience is really what matured me.
So you were drafted in March of 23,
right? I was drafted in in March. And I was, I can't remember where I went. Oh, I went to, I was sent to Oregon for a basic training session, and I did my basic training in Oregon. And from there, I was chosen to go to the ASTP program that they had, which was the Army Specialized Training program. And what it did is it took individuals, I guess, who had rated high enough on their testing before, sent them back to school.
Oh, I see.
And they sent me to the University of Santa Clara in California. And I spent one quarter there, and they disbanded the program.
Oh, I see.
But it was interesting. I as I say, I did well in all my subjects except one, which was history.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And there was a brother who taught that course, who talked in a monotone, and I found it was so easy to just go to sleep when I went, and it showed up. I had a very good report card, except when I got to that, and that's the one time I failed a course. But anyway, it was a good experience, and from there I went to. I was assigned to the 11th Armored Division, which was in preparation in in Lompoc, California.
So if we go back to the ASTP, that was an officer's training program. The ASTP was an officer's training program, or
No? It. I think it eventually was. Would have led to a commission in the Army, but it wasn't set up that way to as it was introduced to the to the individuals. Many was to get them educated in the field of engineering. So that they could apply their talents. Well, I ended up in engineering anyway. I was in the engineering group in the in the 11th Armored Division.
So the idea would, I mean, the idea was that you would go to Santa Clara for 2 years or so, and then
It was a four years, 4 year course. Yeah, you come out with a graduate degree. And then, as I say, I'm not sure what would happen because they disbanded the program, which I never understood why either, but it happened.
So that was your first stay in California, too, right?
That was my
your first stay in California.
Yes,
and you must have liked it there.
Well, yes. When I was going to school, I met my wife.
Oh, I see.
Or my wife-to-be.
Okay.
And she was going to San Jose State College.
Oh, I see.
At the time.
Okay.
And I met her at one of the little college functions that they had there.
Okay.
And then after, I used to commute back and forth from Santa Maria, where Lompoc area, where the division was, back to San Jose, which is several hundred miles.
Yes,
and of course, at that time, you tried to do it by hitchhiking. There wasn't really any other connection that you could make between the two. And so I spent a lot of time on the road when I had free time on a weekend or something like that.
Okay.
I would go back to San Jose. Once she got a ride from friends and came down to see me, and we spent a weekend together.
Okay. So she was from the Santa Clara Valley. I mean, she must have grown up in the Santa Clara Valley.
She was originally from Oklahoma.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And in fact, worked in Oklahoma City in one of the at the Air Force base she got out. One of her supervisors really recommended that she try to get into college. That's really where she should be. And so she had a sister in California, in Bakersfield. And so she moved out with her. Both parents were gone, so she was going to
Home.
And she moved out with her sister and started at Bakersfield Junior College.
Okay.
And I guess spent a year there, and one of the professors suggested that she really should try to get into San Jose State.
Okay.
Because she had a real inclination towards the arts.
Okay.
And he said she would get a good background there, and so she moved to San Jose and met another young lady who they teamed up together and got an apartment. And, and she started in San Jose State and was there in their art department, as where her major was. And, she was in her freshman year? When I met her. And of course then after we met and really grew to enjoy one another, my division was shipped offshore, overseas.
Oh, okay.
And that was that was good. Well, that was the start of my really understanding the ups and downs of what goes on in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really.
Okay.
And while I was there, we went through. I was at the Battle of the Bulge.
Oh my gosh.
I was at the Remagen Bridge takeover. We ended up in Paris. And then all the way across Germany, and finally we were in Linz, Austria, when the war ended, and we just uncovered some of the atrocities of that the Jews had suffered there in the various camps, concentration camps. And I learned about man, the inhumanity to man. You have to excuse me.
No, please. So would you like to talk more about your war experience? So move on to, would you like to talk more about your war experiences, or would you like to move on to San Jose State?
No, I think Yeah, I just move on.
Okay. Okay.
I said they were really matured me in a hurry.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I still have difficulty when I think about something.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. So, in 46 you moved back to San Jose, right?
I got discharged in in what was in Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, which is about 40 miles from Winona.
Okay.
And went home and stayed, I guess about 3 or 4 weeks, and then I went on out to California.
Okay. Okay.
And then stayed out there, and my wife and I were married in June of that year, 46. And I started in San Jose College. I said, well, while I'm waiting for her to finish up there, I'll just start, and then I can transfer if I need to. And so I was accepted there, and I started out. And I really think that was one of the best choices that I've made. Because San Jose State at that time, it was a small school. It was about 1,200 student body.
Okay.
And the relationship between the professors and the students was far different than what I find now. In that we used to go out sometimes on weekends with some of my chemistry professors I had there. We'd go out when the grunion were running, and we'd fish grunion, and then in the evening around the fire we'd sit there and talk about anything you could think about.
Wow.
And it eventually got around into chemical subjects and what have you. But that was a normal thing that went on there. I mean, it was that kind of relationship between the two. And I think that's the better part of education.
So you were there. So you were there with the GI Bill. I mean, was the GI Bill financing your studies? Or?
I think I started there on the GI Bill. The GI Bill was in effect. And I did. I started then. I was working at the time. I had taken a position in the construction operation just to support myself while I was there. And I think I was going to try to continue that because the fees for San Jose State were such that I wasn't sure I wanted to waste my GI Bill on it, because I say my tuition was $7 a quarter.
Oh, I see, okay.
And it was just the cost of books and what have you. So.
Okay.
But as I recall, I think I did, though, invoke the GI Bill, and that allowed us, what, $500 a year or something that for school expenses. And
so did you still keep your job, or did you still work at the same time?
I still worked part-time in this construction area while I was going to school. And but I also, after I, I guess it was my second year there, or third year. I was trying to think. I went through there in 3 years, as I recall, but I think it was my third year. It was after I had taken a physics course from Mr. Moreland, who I really enjoyed. I started working with him as a reader, and took care of correcting exams and that sort of thing. So, so I gradually got out of the construction business and did that. And with we got a small supplement from the government, so we called to that helped. So, so that kind of kept me there, and it allowed me to go at a more rapid pace than than I normally would have. And,
So how did you? I'm sorry. How did you choose chemistry? And so I mean, you graduated in chemistry, and I was wondering how you chose your major. And was it something obvious, or was it?
I think it was something that I really wanted to do after I had finished up my high school chemistry.